You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Rodgers will go conventional. He'll do it himself. Touchdown, Packers. Aaron Rodgers into the end zone.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the eye.
Get those back.
So they tried to address the problem, but so far, like you said, nothing.
I guess the bright side is it happened early enough on that there's time.
What are you talking about? We're going to talk about the pass rush. You can't talk about what's not there.
If we don't start pushing it, pocket back and getting some pass rush, we're going to tear the secondary.
Seats in the bowl at Lambeau will definitely outweigh the demand for seats.
All right, Green Bay Packer fans, it's Cheesehead Radio, and we are back. It is time to say bye-bye to the bye. Packers have had a week off. We took a week off. We are back again, and I'm happy to be here with you. We're going to be talking tonight with Rob Demoski, he of ESPN, formerly of the Green Bay Press Gazette. If there is a guy who knows everything about the Packers, it's Rob Demoski. We're excited to have him back on the show, back with us right here, Cheesehead Radio. I'd like to introduce, I'm going to be here with two of the greatest writers you're going to find anywhere. I am here with Jersey Al Bracco, he of Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com, and we have a special guest host tonight, John Rahor and Jamie Snowden, both unfortunately unable to be with us tonight. So Mike, and I'm going to try to say this last name correctly, Mike Wendland. How did I do?
Yep.
That's right. All right. From PackersTalk.com is going to be joining us tonight. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. We're really excited to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's going to be a blast. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, okay. Well, just follow Al's lead and everything should be okay. All right. Hey, want to throw out a quick props out to our two sponsors. We've got Mayfield Sports Marketing. Great, great guy, Mark Mayfield. Does some great stuff. Got a whole new lineup of some new pack celebrity guests that you can sign on. Give him a follow over on Twitter at Mayfield Sport, if you would. And, of course, our good friends at Waukesha Sports Cards. You can follow them on Twitter at Walk Sports. Anything you need signed, anything you need autographed, they have pretty much absolutely everything. So it's been a long week off. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. Let's get right to it.
Jersey Al and Jamie bring you this week's Packer News.
Well, it's been 10 days, but the memory of Philip Rivers leading the Chargers up and down Lambeau Field to the tune of 500-plus yards is still fresh in our minds. The only thing that prevented a sky is falling, fire Dom Capers reaction from the Packers fan base was the final score. 6-0 soothed a lot of ills.
Absolutely. Now, the Packers' defense performed best when it had to. Now, they had great success in the red zone and made 2 fourth-down stops. After the game, Capers was naturally dismissive of the yardage given up, reminding us all his emphasis been on the scoring defense, and he threw in a winners find a way to win for good measure.
And Mike McCarthy was throwing out his own usual coach speak during one of his press conferences this week, but the subject of LaTroy Guion brought an interesting reaction. JS Online reporter Michael Cohen wrote an article about Guion during the bye week, detailing his long history of off-the-field issues beyond his marijuana arrest this year. When asked about the article, McCarthy said, "I'm not going to react to that article," and then went on to call it garbage. Nice try on the no reaction thing, Mike.
Kind of hard for him, I think. There is no shortage of reaction to Eddie Lacy taking a seat on the bench for the majority of the Chargers game. held to 3 yards on 4 carries. Speculation was rampant as to what might be wrong. His ankle is worse than the Packers are letting on. He's overweight. He has off-the-field distractions. He was on the cover of Madden. Just bad luck. Everybody has a theory, but no one has the answer.
But Lacy's struggles didn't prevent him from being a quality human being off the field, however. Along with the New Era Corporation, Lacy spearheaded a food and clothing drive to benefit Freedom House, a Green Bay shelter for homeless families. Lacy also made a surprise appearance at a pizza party there this weekend, personally handing out over 100 Packers wool caps to needy children.
Wool caps. I gotta get one of those. It was a sad week, however, for one Packers player who announced his retirement from the NFL. Of course, it was kind of anticlimactic, as everyone had already assumed JerMichael Finley's career was over and actually that he had already retired several years ago. Evidently, JerMichael was still holding out some hope, but recent rumors of his not healing that well from surgery could have some validity, and Finley finally decided to officially retire and go collect on that $10 million insurance policy.
And that was the latest Packers news. Next up is Gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week's Gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
As Andrew Luck continues to average over an interception a game, Chris Burke mused, "Remember when everyone was starting to put Andrew Luck above Aaron Rodgers? That was cute."
Well, for this tweet, I have no idea what the reference was, but our old buddy, the Packer Ranter, revealed a personal secret. "I'm not special. I'm just like you. I put my sauerkraut on one shovelful at a time."
Sounds about right. Well, from the great news department, Packers News tweeted out this comment from Bart Starr's wife, Sherry. "Bart is on track to attend the Favre ceremony on Thanksgiving. If it were tomorrow, he'd be there."
That is great news. After being bombarded all week by multiple tweets from Michael Cohen in the Journal Sentinel about their LaTroy Guion article, Aaron Nagler summed up our feelings. "Milwaukee Journal Sentinel seems desperate for people to notice their Guion story that essentially reprints police reports from 3 years ago." And that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweets of the Week.
Mike, you did an awfully fine job in your first attempt at the tweets. Pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's always good was it everything you dreamed it was going to be?
Absolutely. Especially when you get a chance to talk about Bart Starr a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you practicing in front of a mirror at all, or, you know, kind of staying up late, kind of practicing your tweet voice?
No, I was up late writing papers.
the life of a college student.
I'll tell you, young kids.
Yeah.
So, hey, welcome back, guys. It's great to have you guys. We got a great guest tonight. He's going to be joining us in a little over 5 minutes, so please hang on if you are hanging on to us so far. ESPN's Rob Demoski is going to be joining us in a sec. I'm sure he's going to have some of those answers that we were talking about in the news. So
Rob
let's
Mr. Awesome, Rob, just let me tell you. And now he's on TV, too.
We're calling him Mr. Awesome?
Mr. Awesome. I think that's his nickname.
Is that his Halloween costume?
Don't know. I wonder what that looks like.
I don't know. So let's get this. Yeah, this is one thing I'm just going to get off my chest. You know, we're going to get to talking to Robin about stuff, but, you know, I just got to say this out here. All the excitement about Phillip Rivers throwing for, what did he throw through, 5,000 yards?
Roughly, yeah.
5,000 yards, something like that, setting world records. I don't care. I went to Pro Football Reference and I'm trying to find, you know, all the best, you know, single game records. At least half of those games were in losing causes. So people are making a big deal about it. Would you guys agree that it's just totally a non-issue?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it really doesn't matter. You can give a 500 yards if they're 3, 4, 5 yard passes up and down the field, taking up all the time. If you can't get touchdowns out of it, yards don't matter. Green Bay, their yardage defense isn't the greatest, but about 16 points a game doesn't lie. You held teams like San Francisco to 3, San Diego to, what was it, a 20 or something like that, whatever it was. It's just, like, scoring is, like, all that matters is if you score more points than the other team. I don't care how many yards you get, how many yards you throw for. San Diego couldn't run. They could throw, but they were throwing all these little dumb process out routes that are meant to disrupt a pass rush. They were just playing a time of possession game, and it worked for them for the yardage, but they just couldn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, and, you know, that is always and always will be, has been and always will be Don Capers' mantra, that it doesn't matter how many yards. What matters is red zone defense and how many points we give up. And certainly that they've accomplished those things well this year. And even in the San Diego game, red zone defense was the deciding factor pretty much in that game. And that's really all that matters to Capers, and the win is really all that matters to us as fans. So, yeah, I think we, or those of us, or those who got a little excited or overexcited about the 500 yards need to just calm down a little bit.
Well, I haven't heard much about it since, so I think most people have kind of realized, hey, it really doesn't matter how many yards you throw for if you don't win. But I think that brings me to another good point, though, too, and I'm interested in your thoughts. I had a... You know, last show we had a little bit of a fun time talking about the Packer fans jumping off the cliff, despite the fact we're undefeated. We poked a little fun at it, and I think, you know, it was all in good humor. But now the Packers are 6-0, and there are some struggles there. Is there a level of overconfidence? I mean, it's pretty much set in stone right now. The Packers now have the number one defense in the NFL. Is that right? I'm pretty sure I heard that yesterday. Number one defense in the NFL.
6-0. That's insane that you're saying those words, but yes, that is accurate.
Yes.
So, yes, by 1 point.
By 1 point. But now I'm not being a guy jumping off a cliff, but just like we can say, hey, 500 yards, that's great. Yeah, being 6-0, it doesn't mean anything. You can still finish a season 6-10. Your number one defensive ranking can fall down. How confident are you? Because, I mean, now you're listening to the prognosticators and the pundits, and it's like, well, Green Bay is the team to beat, and who's going to even step up to them? Confidence, lack of confidence, realistic, glass half empty, full, whatever. What are you guys thinking right now? Just on the Packers, where they sit right at the second.
Well, my confidence is still pretty high. I mean, if you think about it, I believe the Packers have been the most injured team in the NFL. I think I read that somewhere through the first five games.
Yeah, 78 games missed.
Yeah. So, and you know, we've got the bye week. Of course, they always say it comes at a perfect time, but I don't know that it was ever more perfect than this year. And now they've got players coming back. Burnett's coming back. Adams, hopefully, is coming back. Raji practiced today, which was a bit of a surprise. So we might have him. You know, all these players coming back that were injured, we're just going to get stronger. And, you know, we did fine without them. We're 6-0 without them. So my confidence is not wavering at all. I think it's just going to get stronger after this game because I think the Packers will beat Denver. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm very confident. The one of the famous things is good teams find a way to win. Injuries have hit hard. See, it's the same thing back in 2010. How bad you end up, we ended up winning the Super Bowl. Lacy being nicked up all year. Adams missing four games. Roger missing last game. That contributed to Rivers' total. Same with Nick Perry being out. Both those guys practiced today. Adams, McCarthy said he's probably going to be back for this weekend. Sounds like the only guys who might miss are Ty Montgomery. James Starks got added to the injury report with a hip injury.
Yeah.
I think you get this, you're right, this bye week came at the absolutely perfect time with all these injuries that are going on. And the next two weeks are going to be huge tests with Denver and then Carolina. Both could be multiple undefeated matchups here. But however, I'm extremely confident with the team. The fact that they are finding ways to get the job done when they need to. They're getting turnovers. When they want to run the ball, they can. Like Starks had that big game against San Diego with that huge 65-yard run. Yeah. Ty Montgomery started to emerge. We got to see Aberderis a little bit on kick returns. Janis with a couple big plays. The offensive line is back fully healthy. Barclay was solid in his time, but having Bulaga back is huge. Rodgers is getting a clean pocket again. And then you throw in the fact that this defense is playing the best since 2010. And it's something really, really good to see.
Yeah, well, something else good to see or good to hear would be our guest tonight, and I think we might be ready for that. CD?
Cheesehead Radio. Special guest.
Oh, we've got something special for you tonight, Packer fans. He's coming back to the show. Repeat guest. Just one of the nicest guys you're going to meet, one of the most down-to-earth guys you're ever going to talk with. He knows pretty much everything about the Packers, so we're thrilled to have ESPN's Rob Demoski back with us on Cheesehead Radio. How are you doing, sir?
I am great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Awesome.
Great. Pretty well down here.
Yeah, excellent. All right, Rob, we got you for a couple here. I'm going to hit you with the big one first. Are you all set?
Okay.
Yeah. Topic on everyone's mind. Obviously, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel went into some uncomfortable territory with Leroy Guyon, Mike McCarthy, the Packers organization, you know, kind of coming up, digging up some old dirt and kind of throwing it out into the air and seeing what's going to scatter. Some history of Guyon's history, drug charges, domestic violence, guns. Mike McCarthy comes out, says he's not going to talk about it, but it's garbage. He says he believes in second chances. What's the latest you have on this situation, or is it even a situation?
Well, boy, this could take up the whole show.
We got a whole show. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I'm going to tread lightly here because I don't like criticizing other people's work because obviously they did a lot of work on this story. But none of it's new information, okay? We all wrote, or at least I know I did, and I'm sure some other media outlets did, wrote over the summer about the domestic violence issue because there was a civil suit that was filed and is still pending against Leroy Guyon by this Crystal Troutman, I believe her name is, and I can't remember what the guy's name is. And so I wrote at the time that look, okay, he's got a civil suit against him. It stems from a criminal case in which he paid restitution, and then they agreed to deferred prosecution. So, you know, yes, the Journal Sentinel went into incredible detail about it, but I don't know if there was anything new there. The other issue I have is, to me, the story would have been and should have been, what did the Packers know about his history before they signed him? And that question remains unanswered. To me, that's the only question. You know, what did they know any of this? And if so, why did they still sign him? Why did they, you know, or should they have still signed him? I guess those are the only two issues that I would like to know, and those questions were unanswered. So I have talked to his lawyer, who was quoted in the story, and basically denying all the charges. And look, I knew the story was coming because I have a good relationship with his agent and his lawyer, and they were, you know, saying that they think it's a bunch of garbage, just like Mike McCarthy did. So I don't know. I guess put it to you this way. The story didn't gain a whole lot of motion or whatever you want to call it from other media. I know it was praised by a few people, but you know, when the author of the story, writer of the story, is the one that has to go in and then ask Mike McCarthy about it at the next press conference, I think that tells you what the local and regulars on the beat thought of the story.
I think that the only guy who praised the article was that Fire Ted Thompson Twitter account. But
well, Peter King gave it a
message. Oh, did he?
So,
okay.
Yeah, Peter King just said it was a good piece of investigative journalism, which, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was, but again, I don't think there was a whole lot new there. And the one question that I would like to know the answer to was unanswered.
Yeah, and let me just follow up with you on that before I turn it over to Mike here. Where is your concern when the original signing of Guyon took place, or now the decision to bring him back after the suspension? Does that change it in the light now that he had the 3-game suspension and now we're looking at this information, or should we have looked at it back in the summer
when we first looked at him? Right. I guess that goes to my question, CD, of when did the Packers know about it? Because that's the only thing that matters, is when did they know about it? I didn't know about it until July, that he had these previous things. But, you know, the Packers, I mean, let's put it this way. If you're paying a guy, you know, whatever, hundreds of thousands or maybe $1 million, you know, you'd think they would do thorough background checks. And maybe they did. We don't know. Maybe they did, and they felt like, you know, like they were okay with it. You know, the one thing that our editors said at the time of the civil suit, that we don't, as a news organization, we don't typically write about civil suits because, and this is a direct quote from a boss, anybody with $100 bill can go walk into a court and file a civil suit against anybody else.
Sure.
Because that's all it takes, is $100 to file a civil suit. So, and I think that's what you have at right now. The only pending litigation is a civil lawsuit. There are no criminal charges being pending against him.
All right. Well, thanks a lot there. Mike, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. After all that, let's try and move back onto the field. I remember a lot of the comments, like in articles I write and stuff I read, everyone's going after Dayton Jones, Nick Perry, saying they're, because they were first-round picks, they were bust, and the injuries kind of hurt that. But this year they've really stepped up. Dayton with that big play against San Diego. Nick Perry has had a great year so far. How is seeing them healthy and affecting the game with their skills affected the team as a whole? And also, how does it kind of vindicate Ted Thompson for people who say he kind of, except the exception of Rodgers, kind of misses on his first-round picks?
Yeah. You know, Mike, it's a good question. And I mean, I think that, I always said this about A.J. Hawk. If A.J. Hawk was the 25th pick of the draft and not the 5th pick of the draft, you probably would have thought he was a decent player. But he got a lot of criticism because he was the 5th pick of the draft. And, you know, it's not his fault he was the 5th pick of the draft. That's the guy who picked him. I think you can look at it a little bit the same there. For whatever reason, Ted Thompson has not done very well picking big people, you know, mostly defensive linemen. And you think Nick Perry, he was a defensive lineman coming out. He's done very well at skill positions, corner, receiver. You know, I don't know that he's done very well picking big guys. Now, that said, you're right. You know, those guys have now started to make some plays when they're healthy, although Nick Perry, again, finds himself on the injury report with his shoulder and hand last week and didn't play against the Chargers. But, you know, he's always been a guy that, when healthy, has made some impact plays. He just is not healthy enough. And, you know, at some point, you know, that has to go into the decision-making when you draft a guy, is how healthy is this guy? What's his ability to stay healthy? Dayton Jones, you know, a little bit of what I wonder about Dayton Jones is how much the guy really loves football. I mean, that I don't, you know, and he's had some injuries, sure. But, you know, there's some guys that you're around and you just be like, you know, like Mike Daniels, man, this guy is all football. And then there's other guys, and there's plenty of examples over the years. Justin Harrell was one of them, too, even though he had injuries. That guy, he just didn't love football. He didn't live for it. And, you know, that's fine, I guess, but, you know, you're sort of cheating the team that drafts you a little bit, and maybe it's up to the team to sniff that out. But, you know, I'll be very curious to see what happens, you know, like at the end of this year, Packers obviously declined the fifth-year option on Nick Perry. So what happens? Does anybody – you know, take a run at him in free agency, or can the Packers get him back relatively affordable? Do they want him back at an affordable price? You know, I think those are all interesting things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thank you very much. I was glad to figure out that see these guys step up a little bit better than they have been.
Yeah.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm great, Al. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for joining us. Always great to talk to you. I want to talk real quickly about B.J. Raji. I don't think you can underestimate how important he's been to the defense this year. And, you know, that comment is coming from someone who's been a pretty tough critic on Raji and often questioned his motivation. And you were just talking about guys who love to play football and guys who are just kind of there to collect a check. If you're comfortable saying, where do you think Raji falls on that scale?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Alan. I think that's one that's evolved over his career. I think he now is a guy that really loves football. And, you know, sometimes it takes, it takes circumstances to have a guy in that regard, because I'm not convinced, you know, that maybe in years two, three, well, probably years three and four, that he really felt that way, you know, and probably thought he deserved, you know, more of a deal when he hit free agency the first time. And, you know, I think he got a dose of reality when there were no real long-term offers out there for him. So, he goes and obviously was in a prove-it year last year, gets hurt, and finds himself in the same situation again. And I think he's a different guy. I really do. I think he's a little bit of a changed persona, both in the way he approaches it from a mental standpoint, but also the dedication that he's put into it physically. I mean, you know, you see big guys, you know, they go one way or the other during their career. You know, they either get bigger and they end up, you know, for lack of a better term, eating themselves out of the league, or they cut weight late in their career and get themselves into shape, and that's what Raji's done at this point. I don't know. Maybe it's not fair to say he's late in his career, but he's well into his career, and I see a guy who is definitely more motivated than maybe he was in the past.
Okay, great. That's great to hear. That's kind of been my perception, that he's a changed guy this year, so that's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking with Rob Domofsky of ESPN here on Cheesehead Radio. Rob, I was having a conversation with a friend, and he asked me about Eddie Lacy, and he goes, "What's wrong with him? What's going on?" And I just said my standard answer. I said, "Well, you know, he's had an injury. He's fighting it off. You know, if it were me, if I were the coach, I would have had him inactive until after the bye." And he kind of looked at me, and he was like, "No, there's something more to it than that." I said, no, I'm pretty sure he's just injured. No, no, there's something going on here. So I don't know. Is this like the whole moon landing thing? Is the Kennedy assassination, Eddie Lacy, or am I right with this whole injury thing?
I kind of agree with your buddy, CD. I think there's an issue, and it may stem from the injury. But here's how I asked the question to McCarthy last Monday. You know, right after the San Diego game when they're going to their bye, I said, Mike, I said, has the injury prevented Eddie from working out like he should or would, and therefore affected his conditioning? Which I thought was a polite, delicate way of asking, is he fat?
Is he out of work?
And Mike sort of said, he just basically said, he goes, nope, ankle hasn't affected his conditioning. Which, the more I think about it, you know, maybe I gave him an out. Well, maybe it's not the ankle that's affected his conditioning. Maybe it's the Doritos and the donuts that's affected his conditioning. I don't know. Because when Mike was asked about it today, the question, the way it was posed today, is I believe Bill Johnson from ESPN 540 in Milwaukee asked it. He said, is Eddie Lacy bigger than he was as a rookie? And Mike said, yes, he's bigger than I'm not going to get up here and talk about weight, but yes, he's bigger than he was as a rookie. Which, you know, you can look at it a number of different ways. You can look at it and say, well, yeah, he's bigger because he's stronger, muscular, whatever. Or he's bigger because he's put on weight, and maybe it was McCarthy, you know, sending a little bit of a message or trying to deliver a little bit of a message to Lacy that, you know, you gotta get your weight down a little bit. I mean, we could guess at what he weighs. He's listed at 234. At the combine, he weighed at 231, and that's real. I mean, that's real. There's no way to fudge that because they, you know, everybody's watching the weigh-in. But I was told, and I wrote this in my piece today about Lacy, that very early in training camp on a weigh-in day, and you know, they weigh in every Wednesday or every whatever day it is. That it was a weigh-in day about a week or so into camp that he weighed 242. Now, is 242 too big? You know, it's right on the borderline, but to me, he looks bigger now than he did in camp. So if he were 242 in camp, then, you know, we could guess that he's significantly more than that right now.
All right. Mike?
Yeah, I guess we talked about the injuries a little bit. Morgan Burnett's supposed to be back this Sunday from his calf injury. And Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins are playing great right now. Obviously, Demaryius with the big game ceiling play, and Rollins with the two interceptions, St. Louis.
Yep.
I guess when Burnett comes back, what are they going to do with Micah Hyde? Is he an odd man out maybe in that dime, or would it be one of the rookies or Chris Banjo? Or
right, it's a great question, Mike. And because, you know, they have so many guys that have made plays. I can tell you this, though. The coaches love and trust Micah Hyde. They want him on the field. I don't think he loses snaps to either of those rookies. I think he goes back to being the nickel. And, you know, Randle probably goes back to playing in the dime. And Rollins, you know, maybe get some snaps here or there. Maybe they rotate those two rookies. But I don't – at this point, I'd be very surprised if, if Micah Hyde's role – it'll obviously change. He's not going to play, you know, safety every time. But I bet you they go back to him as the nickel and one of the rookies as the dime. But, you know, it's the old coaching cliche. I guarantee you'll hear Joe Witt and Dom Capers say it tomorrow when they have availability that it's a good problem to have. But it is. I mean, it really is. You know, this is the deepest – secondary group that I can remember in quite some times in terms of guys you can put out there and make plays. And, it's a good problem to have. It's, to me, though, it does, make you wonder whether they even bother to re-sign Casey Hayward next offseason. He'll be a free agent. I mean, I think they'll probably, you know, unless it's a cheap deal or something, but I'm guessing it won't be, they'll probably just move on because they've got so many options there. And, I mean, you know, we haven't even talked about Ladarius Gunter, who was, you know, probably the most talked about guy in training camp, the undrafted rookie from Miami who seemed like he made a play every day in camp. And, so they've got him that they like to develop too and haven't even gotten him on the field yet.
Yeah, and you just answered my follow-up. I was going to ask, what do they do with Casey Hayward? But yeah, I agree with you. I think they maybe think about moving on from him. He hasn't really shown much outside of being a slot guy.
Right. I mean, I think he's fine. He's played fine. It's not like he's terrible. I just think they've, you know, everyone, it's funny, you know, everyone thought, well, they drafted Randle and Rollins to replace Tremont Williams and House. Well, maybe they really drafted them to replace Casey Hayward next year.
Yeah. So, Al, you got one more?
Yeah, I sure do. Let's talk about Devontae Adams. Assuming he returns this week, is he the guy that can help break the press coverage and help the Packers' outside passing game?
Well, Al Randall Cobb surely thinks so, and I think he's hoping so, because then it, you know, takes some of the pressure off him in the slot, and, you know, we've really seen the coverage rolled that way a little bit more. Yeah, look, I mean, Devontae Adams, a strong physical receiver. How, you know, this ankle injury obviously ended up being worse than he let on initially. And so you still wonder, I looked at it today, and he still had quite a bit of tape on that thing as he came off the practice field. But, you know, it can't hurt to have a guy that has his size, you know, his ability. And you think about it, Al, I mean, he's basically played one healthy game this year, and that was the opener, because he got hurt in that week two game. So, he hasn't been right since week two. He's played one full football game where he hasn't been injured. So, we really haven't seen much of him in terms of what he, you know, what they think he can be this year. They think he can be that guy who, you know, against New England had, six catches and 120 yards, and against Dallas in the playoff game had over 100 yards. That's the guy they think he can be. But he's still an awfully young player. Really, he's got, you know, just a little bit more than a season's worth of experience under his belt, and it may be asking a little bit too much to, you know, think he's all of a sudden just going to change the complexion of this offense, and all of a sudden they're able to go downfield more. I mean, it may happen, but it's a little bit of wishful thinking at this point.
That was the reason for my question, because I kind of feel the same way as you, despite what all the Packers players and coaches are saying. But just a quick follow-up. I mean, one way that other teams, and especially the Broncos, who we're going to see help beat press coverage, is to use bunch formation. That's just something that McCarthy doesn't do. Any insight at all why he doesn't do that at all?
I've actually never asked that question. It's an interesting point. They seem like they're more inclined to put two receivers in the backfield than they are to bunch them up together on one side.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Montgomery and Cobb in the backfield together. It's a good question. I had not thought of that. I don't know why they don't do it, but maybe I'll try to poke around and see, you know, if there's any if there's been any discussion about that.
I give you permission to use the question, Rob.
Thank you.
So we're going to be listening to the press conference tomorrow. I'm pretty excited. Copyright, Jersey Albra. That's going to be great. Excellent. All right, we have been talking with the amazing Rob Domofsky. You can actually follow him on Twitter over at Rob Domofsky. You have to kind of phonetically spell that out. Check him out over at ESPN. He does some great. He's on TV now, too, I think. Is that right, Rob?
Yeah, I did some TV today. Do some TV tomorrow. I don't know about that, though. Obviously, their standards are low if they'll put me on TV. But I will say this. I'm gonna confess something right here on Cheesehead Radio. I'm going to confess that for my TV appearances, I've actually started using makeup. So, when you got a shiny head like mine, you got to take a little bit of the glare off the camera. So, I'm letting you guys in on a secret here that I've made the move to, I don't know if it's TV, can I say this, TV hell, but I'm wearing makeup on TV.
Okay.
So the viewers can put away their sunglasses then from this point
on. Although I will say this, Chris Mortensen, when I was talking to him, told me that if he ever catches me on TV wearing a pocket square in my jacket, then I'm no longer, I have abandoned my writing roots, because writers don't wear pocket squares. So I can wear makeup, but no pocket squares, according to Mort.
That's fair.
Well, Rob, we have really enjoyed talking with you over the years, and we're looking forward to seeing you more on TV and reading your stuff. Thank you for coming on Cheesehead Radio tonight once again and just giving us the knowledge bombs left and right.
Thanks, guys. We'll be seeing you.
All right. See you later, Rob.
You have a great night.
All right. Good night.
You too.
All right. Rob Domofsky, ESPN.
One of the best writers out there.
Absolutely. I've always been a big fan. And, you know, best part is he hasn't big-timed us. You know, he still comes on this show, even though he's ESPN now. Got to give him a lot of credit for that.
Absolutely. Still remembers us little people.
Absolutely. I've had a beer or two with Rob Domofsky.
brings you Make It or Break It.
No, I was trying to guess when you're going to stop talking.
See,
I never get it.
Yeah, you've learned one thing tonight, Mike. CZ loves his stings, and he can't
wait to use them,
as he just discovered. So, okay. Never mind what I was saying.
It's his show. Let him do what he wants.
Yeah.
It's our show. It's collective.
Yeah, it's not just his show. But.
Yeah, yeah. So here's
the
number.
He's going with the equipment.
Here's a number for you. Right. Ready? 63,542. Anyone know what that is?
63,542.
No idea?
Hmm. Well, I know we've got a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is the number of commercials I've seen featuring Peyton Manning so far this season.
So you've made up the number. Okay.
No, I've been counting, which makes me a little more sympathetic to the later stages of Brett Favre's career when, of course, he was on every single commercial and, you know, fans from other teams just go, okay, can we get a break yet? We're kind of seeing a little bit on the other end here with Peyton making quite a bit.
About
but
that, real quick.
Go ahead. Sure.
Did Favre do a lot of local commercials? Like local
He did the Ford commercials that Aaron Rodgers does now.
Not as many as Mike Sherman.
No. Mike Sherman, he did do a couple, didn't he?
Yeah.
So clearly the best. But anyway, I think we just gave someone some free advertising. We didn't even mean to. So Peyton Manning has been Peyton Manning. Is he due? I guess I'll be honest. There's a little dread I have for this game coming off the bye, AFC on the road. Peyton Manning, is he due for a big game?
He may be due, but can he do what he needs to do being due? And I don't think he can. So if you're just saying based on past experiences he do, possibly, but I don't think we're going to see it. Did that make any sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Fine.
Check it.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I don't think he's due. He's having the worst year of his career, bar none, that he's played in, I guess. But I guess with a guy like him, his arm strength is diminished. His offensive line is a mess. He's got good receivers, but they're more deep threats than anything. So I don't see how he fits, especially against a defense that's getting a good pass rush, is playing good coverage. I think if they were playing a team like San Diego or a team like Miami or something like that, then maybe. But I can't say he's due when you're playing a top flight defense, coming off your bye, and you lead the league in interceptions. Or at least he did coming into his bye week last week. So I honestly cannot say that. I don't think he's due for a game, a big game like that.
How many interceptions does he have? Do you know?
10, I think. I think he's 7 touchdowns and 10 picks.
Okay.
Let me give you another number. Let me give you another number. 46.36. What is that number?
That will be Peyton Manning's quarterback rating on Sunday.
Yes.
Night.
Oh my gosh. No.
Did I get that
that's
right?
His quarterback rating right now. That's his season
get out of
quarterback
here.
Rating. No.
I thought it was 76. Did he drop that off
the
game? Or his QBR.
The QBR. I apologize. You're right. Okay. I apologize. I was looking at the QBR. Oh, rating is 72.5. But regardless, 72.5, he has not had that low of a rating since his rookie season in 1998.
Yeah, I saw a stat on Twitter today. It was that his rating now is worse than Tebow's was back in 2011 or 2012, whenever it was when they went on that playoff run.
That's just cruel. Whoever's throwing that information around, they're just sadistic.
So if that does anything about what his year's been like.
Yeah.
But absolutely terrible. So who's going to match up? We've got Emmanuel Sanders. This is the guy, if anyone's going to, you know, do some damage in the passing game, it's probably going to be Sanders. Who are you going to line up there? Is it going to be Sam Shields?
No, I'm inclined to trust Demaryius Randall. He's been great in deep coverage so far this season. I think you kind of want to put Shields on Demaryius Thomas, who is still the bigger threat, better receiver, even if he hasn't had quite the year that you expect. Sanders has that rapport, but he's also been inconsistent. He at times struggles with drops. And Randall has proven that he deserves a chance. He's a good boundary corner. If he was in the slot, then maybe you can slot Casey Hayward there. But I think right now I just got to go with, you got to trust whoever your number two corner is going to be, whether it's Randall, Rollins, Hayward, in the slot, maybe Micah Hyde. But I think you have to match up Shields with Demaryius Thomas and then the next man up.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
go
ahead. Go ahead, Dale.
I don't get to say anything?
You do. I just said go
Who
ahead.
Who's show is this?
Mine, but go ahead.
There you go. I just checking. Make sure I know my place, that's all. you know, as far as straight up matchups, you know, Capers doesn't always do that. You know, he doesn't always have like, all right, for this game, you've got Randall, you've got Sanders. So I think you will see, you know, one or two different guys working against both Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Excuse me. I think, Mike, you're right. I think Randall is probably one of the best choices they could make there when they do decide to match somebody up. Because, as you said, he has really defended the deep pass well, especially. He always seems to get his head around, know where the ball is, as opposed to, you know, for years we had defensive backs that would just kind of run with the receivers and kind of flail their arms a little bit and have no idea that the guy was going to catch the ball over his head for a touchdown. So I'm very high on Randall. I really love what I've seen. And, I think what you said makes a lot of sense there.
All right, moving on a little bit here. Rob Demoski just talked to, did not reassure me one tiny bit about Eddie Lacy.
I agree with Rob.
Really, really, really wishing he could. So we've got Starks sitting out of practice, little hip injury. We've got apparently Eddie Lacy turning into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. How do you see this running game going on Sunday night for the Packers? You know, is there going to be a good split? Who's going to come out, or are we going to have to go to our third running back?
Paging Alonzo Harris.
Might have to resign Ryan Grant. I don't know.
Where's Amon Green? Can Amon Green come back, or Dorsey Levens maybe?
I'm sure they could.
I think, at least my opinion as far as the split is, I think you need to get Lacy going again. He's that good power back that matches up against Denver's defense better. They like to swarm with Von Miller's speed and Brandon Marshall and all those guys. Starks' hip, that's a very concerning injury for a running back because that'll impact how well you can cut or make any sort of turn around the corner. So if he's suffering with a hip injury, that I'm now in doubt of whether he's even going to be able to suit up, which means we'll see Alonzo Harris, and that's two power backs along with guys like John Kuhn, Rapkowski. So I think, yeah, you have to just kind of go straight ahead, downhill. You got to run to set up a passing against a defense like Denver's.
Yeah, I mean, that is worrisome, Stark showing up on the injury report all of a sudden. And as you said, Mike, hip injury is not good for someone who needs to cut a running back like that. So they've got to get Lacy going again. You know, you started out this question, CD, talking about what the issue might be with Lacy.
What do you think? What do you think it is?
I think it's something outside. I think it's something off the field, and maybe it's manifesting itself in overweight, overeating. I don't know. There might be something going on family-wise, something that's distracting him. And one byproduct is that he's getting heavier, and the byproduct of that is he's not the same Eddie Lacy. Pure conjecture, but that's what I'm guessing.
I guess I have a difficult time with that, Al, just because we watched him run in the preseason, and he looked like the same Eddie Lacy as last year. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, he was running over people. It's not a whole lot of time for a complete family breakdown and, you know, Dorito heaven. I think
I don't agree with that at all. No.
And defenses were keying on him when the regular season started, so we had to go against 8-man boxes that you didn't have in the preseason. So, yeah, he's going to get bigger holes and run better in the preseason, but once you get the games when they matter, when they get up on him, he didn't have that agility, that speed that he had last year to break away and make those plays that we know he's capable of.
But he had it 8 weeks ago, and you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers is having, you know, all those struggles here and there. He's having
season. For example, a family situation can arise overnight.
I'm not saying
you.
That. I'm saying
that is what you're saying. He had it 8 weeks ago. Well, that to me doesn't mean anything.
You're conjecturing, and I'm counter-conjecturing.
no, but
by
I'm
suggesting
you're...
that maybe he's just hurt. And maybe he's not able to push off on the ankle, or he's not, you know, and
yeah,
we shouldn't have kept him playing games where he really, when do you need Eddie Lacy? We need Eddie Lacy in the playoffs. I see no reason to be sticking him in there, especially if he's not running effectively in practice. I mean, you got to scratch your head and say, hey, this guy's hurt. Why are you going to put it and make him start rushing in the game? Now you had him go out there and take hits. Possibly tweak you know, whatever he's injured with. And now you're waiting even longer. Now you're sitting there hoping, okay, 2 weeks on the bye, now we hope he's fixed up. I guess you can counter conjecture and say, possibly an alien came down.
Am I allowed to talk now? But,
no, yeah, go ahead.
I let you have a say.
That was short.
Okay. as you are wont to do, you have changed the entire argument. You shifted the entire argument. I was arguing.
Really?
Yes, your point was, well, he was good 8 weeks ago. How can he not be the same guy? And I was arguing that it's very easy for him not be the same guy as 8 weeks ago. And now you moved on to, well, he's injured, and you changed the argument. So I think you misunderstood what I was disagreeing with. So
you're saying it's possible. You're saying it's possible that he could be a different guy. And I'm saying, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, family situation, maybe he's hurt and he's depressed. Maybe there's, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to, instead of committing a logical fallacy, which I believe I did, and I apologize for that, I am suggesting perhaps he's just hurt.
Please fool us now.
He's just hurt. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's possible too.
All right.
But you threw out the possibility that there was something else going on just because he was good 8 weeks ago. And that's what I was disagreeing with, because that
okay.
makes zero sense. Do you follow?
Sort of, yeah. Mike, can you throw any sense into this, Mike?
I can see both points. He could be just absolutely. No, he can be beat up with an ankle. I think it's more likely that it's something off field, because if he can still work out and still practice and see what all that stuff, the ankle's not as big of a deal as we originally thought. And it also makes sense as why we haven't heard anything about it, if it's something off field that's pretty serious, that they'd want to keep that within the team, within the locker room, within the running backs. So, I would lean more toward that it is something off-field. It's something that we don't know about and that we probably don't want to know about and the team doesn't want us to know about. And that maybe the bye week, I think he went back home for that week. I think maybe that can help a little bit, and he can come back and be the Lacy of old.
Yeah.
All right.
Those were reasonable thoughts, E.D.
They really were.
They were.
I'm really glad he agreed with me. Moving on. Ken. Take a look. First of all, this is a two great defensive teams. And we kind of talked about it at the top that the Packers.
Did you said that 2 years
now,
ago?
Yeah. I wouldn't have said it 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. My gosh. I said the Packers are playing well. Clay Matthews in the middle, working well. I think we've drafted two rookie defensive backs who have been way, way better than we ever dreamed they were going to be, which is fantastic. Is Denver going to have to win basically on its defense? I mean, are they going to have to score points on defense just to win?
Yes, that's how they've won all year.
Yeah.
Well, they're the worst team in the end. They're I think they've hit double-digit touchdowns yet on an offense yet. They're the worst, easily the worst team in the league offensively scoring. They scored touchdowns in just about every game. They have three pick sixes. Only problem is they're facing a quarterback now who doesn't turn it over. I think they have to score either score or set up great field position multiple times to get enough points to beat the Packers. And even as far as looking at the Green Bay defense, what they're through, look at the development of a guy like a Nate Palmer, or guys like Denver doesn't quite have a guy like that, guys who can step up if someone goes down. Shane Ray went down last 2 weeks ago. DeMarcus Ware is just coming back to practice. So if they can get a pass rush, they're not going to get picks. If they can get picks, they're just not going to score much. And that's why I have them pretty low scoring on Sunday night.
All right. Well, speaking of which, what's going to happen on Sunday night? Let's get to this week's game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packer Game Predictions.
Green Bay Packers coming off a bye, heading into Denver. Some hostile territory, some bad history with that team. Be a little hype coming up with that, I'm sure. But how do we see this game turning out? We're going to start, first of all, with the man from Jersey. Al, what do you say?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of field goals in this game from both sides. I've got both teams hitting three field goals, but the Packers getting two touchdowns on top of that, and the Broncos only one. So I've got a score of Packers 23, Broncos 16.
Excellent. Now coming up, Mike Wendland. What do you say? Did I say that right?
Yeah, Winlet. You had it right.
Excellent.
Dead on. No, I think there's going to be only three offensive touchdowns. I think Denver will get one. Green Bay will get two. I think they'll be both passing. But I think Green Bay is going to take a kickback. Whether it's a punt or a kickoff, I don't know. I think special teams will score. And then field goals will be to a premium because neither team's going to move the ball, at least in the first half. So I'm going Green Bay's going to go to 7-0, winning 24-10 over the Broncos.
All right. We have a pick-in from the amazing John Rahor, who could not be with us tonight. But he has given us a prediction of Packers 27, Broncos 13. My name is C.D. Angeli, and I'm going to give one of my wacky predictions just because it happens. I think it's going to be a close game for some odd reason. We've had more than a couple games where, especially even our last one, very, very close at the end. So I think it's going to be close, just enough to keep us on the edge of our seats. But because the Broncos have such a great defense, because the Packers now have the number one defense in the NFL, for some reason, just because this is the way the football gods treat us, it's going to be a high-scoring affair. So I'm going to say Packers 33, Broncos 28. Yeah, it's just kind of the way things go. So let's see.
Alrighty.
Fair enough.
There it is.
There's the horn.
It is.
And you didn't do it over yourself talking. That was impressive.
Usually I do that, yeah. Which makes no sense that I could blow a horn and talk at the same time, but there you go.
Multi-talented.
Good. All right, Jersey Al, are you going to take us out?
I will gladly take us out. I didn't know if we were going to have another sting or more music or what, so I was waiting.
Well, I have outro music waiting. It's just waiting
okay,
for you to
start. Okay, so let me start. All right, so thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, and thank you to Mr. Awesome, Rob Domofsky, for joining us. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com to get all the podcasts and some great writing from writers such as Mike Wendland, who joined us tonight as guest host. Please follow Packers Talk Net on Twitter and like the Packers Talk Network page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a review if you can, but only if it's a good one. You can also listen by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. We really need to shorten this. If you're on Facebook, please like our Packers Talk page and also look for the Packers Peeps group. It's a private group, but if you say the secret password and request to be added, you're in. Finally, be sure to support our wonderful sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing. It can be found on Twitter at Mayfield Sports and Waukesha Sports Card at Walk Sports. They help to make the entire Packers Talk Network family of podcasts and blog articles possible. And thanks again to Mike for filling in tonight. That's it for now. Go Pack Go.
Good night, everyone. Jersey Al, you really appreciate Jamie now, don't you?
Ooh, he seems to read that much more easier than I do.
Hopefully she's back next week.
I hope so.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.